This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to disseminating the Torah and Mesorah of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky and his Rebbeim. Please consider donating at eshelpublications.com to help us continue our mission.
I think we're holding Perek Lamed Hey. I hope we're holding Perek Lamed Hey. That's what's marked off. So it's spoken in Perek Lamed Daled about why all of these inyanim are so difficult, and why it is that people should you know, unless a person is a shalem and so on and so forth, a person should not learn these things and so on. Now he is going to qualify that statement that not everything that he spoke about is that true about. So don't think that amongst all of the items that I listed before that why we just keep away all these ideas from the Amoin, that the concept of God being incorporeal and not being affected by anything is also included in those abstruse ideas. It's not true. Just like the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belief in Hashem is one, we need to teach everybody. So too, we need to tell them on faith, kind of, this is the way we have it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, and is not, it not only is not physical, but there is no common denominator between him and anything in this world. None of the things we talk about at Kadosh Baruch Hu are in any way similar to the ideas that, you know, to the words we use them for people. And that the distinction between our Kadosh Baruch Hu and his Nivroim is not only you know, he's smarter or he's stronger. It is of a completely different nature. Everyone needs to understand the difference in us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not quantitative, not even qualitative. It's existential. It's a different metzias. When we say something is strong or something is weak, no matter how big the gap is, there's a common denominator by definition. You can put them on one axis. When we say the word the ein ker kecha means there is nothing that has of the, is part of the same value system. So anytime you can make a ratio between two things, that so no matter how big the ratio is, a million to one still tells me they're both on the same common denominator. Anything that we talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu is of a distinct nature than our nature. Actually, a kaptzim gedder klal, there's no way to put it into one gedder. When we speak about existence, yes, we do use the term existence for both of us. So the word existence, he is going to explain what that means. He says that there is a difference because we exist as the result of something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't resist, it doesn't exist as a result of anything, but we use the term. This is what I've told you here is the minimal formula needed for the less intellectually capable elements of society, sheyesh, they need to know that there's a nimtza shalom, bilti geshem, v'loy koyach b'geshem, he is not a physical being, nor something that expresses itself within a physical being. In other words, none of these two things. Lo yesigu min miminech esaren, there is nothing that, nothing can be said about him as in terms of lacking. B'lachein lo yesigehu hayipalos klal. And therefore, it's not possible to be affected by anything. Because, and let's focus on this point specifically. When I say that somebody was very happy with what I did for him, so in other words, when I say he was affected by something I did positively, that means there was a lack beforehand, and this came and filled it in. So when we say HaKadosh, so we can never say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy, was satisfied, to mean it in any way the way we understand it, because for us, that signifies a change in status from missing, lacking something to having something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not. And therefore, that's also part of what we need to tell him. So Ad Kan, up until this point, we need to everyone needs to understand like this. And the reason is very simple, because the other topics he's going to speak about, Nevuah and Sashkar and things like that, if you don't understand it, then you're not lacking in the etzem understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't know how Nevuah is, how it communicates, fine. But if you mess up on these items and you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have some sort of physical quality, some sort of quality of lacking something, some sort of common denominator with us, then the problem is then you don't believe in God, because that's not God. It's just like I'm saying, you know, I know Yankel very well. Yeah, I always see him around. He's short, he's dark, he's this, he's that. So, well, that's not Yankel. The Yankel is tall and he's pale and so on. So all of these core definitions define what Hashem is. And like I always say, that when I say believe in Hashem, it's not that you use the word Hashem. A person can say he believes in Allah, he believes in God. As long as the definition is the same definition as we have, the person is a maimon. And a person can say he believes in the God of the Jews, and they can say the Hebrew word Hashem Elokei Yisrael. But if he defines it in ways that are not compatible with what the Nefesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, then whatever he believes in, it's not Hashem. So these are items that everyone has to be aware of. Omnam hadvarim betarim ve'echiruch kimenu umayat termasiloi. To have an understanding of what those midas, the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are. Ve'chein hadvarim bevriosim ashebro ubetarim negosel la'olam echshosilosei. How he created things, how he's manhig dashkach and so on, the inyan ritzoyne vasegosi osib chol mashadehu, and how a Kodesh Baruch Hu relates to the things that are happening, v'chein inyan a nevuah ve'echem aloseh nevuah and all of its miles, uma inyan shmoisav amoyrin al echad v'mishemus rabim, elu kulam inyanim amukim v'mitzisot erbemes. So all of the things I've listed now, these are for Yechidus School, and these are topics that he will deal with later on. But Akapanim, he does not, people who can't understand, that are not trying to understand it, they don't need to know it. And talking about it and getting involved with it is counterproductive, and it could be worse. V'heim ha-seidus r'sezachu b'sifsei ha-neviyim, b'sifsei ha-neviyim, tode u'diyochacham zal. And these are all the things that are called seidus of Torah. It is about all these things that we need, that we can only speak about it, we should only speak about it in Rosh Hiprakim, which is a chaynu. And a person who has the attributes necessary to understand it. Omnam, But the removal of any type of physical attribute of Kadosh Baruch Hu, who inyan she ro levar lechol adam kifim mashehu, it needs to be explained to every person to the best of his ability. And for people that can't understand any of the arguments, we need to teach it to them as a given. So a cotton or somebody who's not particularly bright, we tell them, this is what we know. We know we have it on, the Messiah that Hashem doesn't have a goof. The proof that he has no goof, the understanding that it's possible to reason that this chassas seichel does not have, and therefore we don't need to engage it. We ought not engage it in logical arguments. Just like we say Hashem is echad, and we say this is the way it is. Let's hold this a second. The Rambam here is giving us a proof that we need to be able to teach even the most simplest of folk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a goof. And he says the following argument. The Rambam understands, the Rambam's argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one is because if it be more than one, then there must be a goof. There are many ways to understand it. In the way he writes it, Mishnah Torah writes it here, there are a few angles, but more or less it goes like this. If I were to say that there are two items, so that means that I can create a boundary between the two items. For instance, if I say there are two tables, I either have to be able to say a difference how they look, or minimally, if these two tables are clones, they look exactly each other, then I need to be able to say this table sits in area A, B, C, D, and this table sits in area E, F, G, H. Or else, if they both are exactly the same and they're the same place at the same time, then what does that mean that two of them? There's only one. So anytime I say two, I've got to define where A does not exist and where B exists without A, and A exists without B. So automatically, anytime I give a physical attribute, there's going to be two of them. There's going to be more than one. It's not something that is mak of everything. If I say Kadosh Baruch Hu is one, there cannot be a goof. There's another point, this is the Ram says here, anything that we know of that's a goof has two aspects it, the material and the form. So that automatically means that anything that's a goof has a certain element of shnios to it. I can point out the material, I can point out the form that it has. So that again would be a contradiction to Echad. Basically what he's saying is there is no way to define HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a goof and still remember Hashem Echad. So if we expect every bar mitzvah kid to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Ken Hashem Echad and to believe that there is only one God, then we're going to have to teach him there's no goof. Even if he himself can't figure out the math, it's still an emes. Then he says, and then when they grow older, when they accept this and understand it, and then they begin to have, you know, issues learning the VM, that things that seem to be different, so then we'll start explaining to them about the different the fact that there are borrowed meanings, extended meanings, metaphor meanings, and so on. Ashkenaz says, "Ashetia mitas emuna beachtus aloikai ubehamin sifrei anavim emuna shtem v'yodo." Until they understand it fully and totally. I want to point out something kind of incidental in the Rambam here. I think it's important. The Rambam basically says, we take a kid, we teach him something that's emes, but not completely worked out, but age appropriate, and then we go and we wait until he gets older, he has sphakas, and then we give him more material that's age appropriate for him then. We do not stuff him with all the stuff at a younger age that he doesn't understand and can't understand in anticipation at some point in the future, he'll have it. So even though what we're teaching him at stage one is deficient because it will not provide explanations for questions that arise at stage three, it's still the right thing to teach because that's what he understands. And I think it's an important piece to understand why a simpler version of Emunah, so long as it's true for a younger person, might be the right thing. To get involved when a child is really not mature to handle that type of information is not appropriate. And the Rambam says it, that's not the right way to go with it. So what we want to do is figure out where he's holding, what he is, given the information, and then when he gets older and understands things and has problems, now let's address it. So there are times when you cannot, it's impossible to anticipate their later questions because he's not mature enough for it. So give him the answers and the understanding that's appropriate at that stage, and then go on weiter. It's perfectly legitimate and it's the appropriate thing to do. The Rambam also says, we'll see later, in the next chelak, where he speaks about reasons why you find contradictions in authors. He says it before, contradictions in authors' works. And one of them, he says, is because you start out with an overview of material that's oversimplified, so that people get the basic understanding, and then you move on to a more nuanced, detailed understanding. So there will be many times contradictions between the broad general understanding to the specific details, but it is appropriate. You can't start with details. So a person gets a general sense of something and then specific. So here also, it's appropriate that we teach them things that are age appropriate, which is an oversimplification, and so on. And then when they begin to when they raise all these questions, then we begin to give them the more detailed information about the Nevi'im. Then he says, what happens? And a person who doesn't have the wherewithal, he has the wherewithal for a problem, he understands a problem. He doesn't have the wherewithal to understand the solution to this problem. So we tell him as follows. How to understand this pasuk? Chazal understood it. Avolata, you have your idea. Shalakayas bach in a goof fully spoil, ki by spilus shinui. We spoil us here shinui. So the idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu being turned on by any type of activity is something that can't be, and that we have to accept as a given. And we'll figure out the psukim. There are explanations for these psukim. The reason is because every time when we say something was affected by something else, we're saying that something has changed. I was in a bad mood, and this person did me one favor, and I'm in a very good mood, or vice versa. So any change in a person means that, and therefore there is no change. There's no common language with anything else. The So basically, we do need to come down to an Amunas Chachamim. If the child is old enough for the questions and nowhere near mature enough to understand the Terutzim, so we'll tell them, listen, bottom line, what you have to believe this is this. These Chazal are very difficult Chazalim. You know, there were Chachamim who understood it. We don't understand it, and let's leave it at that. That's the reply to it. In other words, you don't need that the person's das be part of it. So the mitzvah of emunah does not require the person's das to be on board. Therefore, as long as the person says he's on board and so on, that's good. Okay.
This understanding that the Rambam is conveying is very sophisticated, and it's nice to say that, you know, only children are limited in their understanding at a certain point in life, but there are many adults that have very simplistic and shallow understandings of, you know, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. To say that if you don't understand exactly how his achdus works and that there's no guf and all these things, is the Rambam really saying that such a person is not a maimon because his understanding of how the details of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not sophisticated enough? It's too simplistic.
Well, so we'll also say that emunah is not either or. Emunah goes in varying degrees, and a person who doesn't even have the slight amount of das to be able to understand, if a person that has HaKadosh Baruch Hu physical, then there's a problem. I'm not big into talking about karsim, but certainly something like an emunah.
Mm-hmm. We have people who are monotheists, but they just don't know the details. They don't even begin to try to articulate what the details behind it are, but they're monotheists.
So Usam says he has to be able to just say, well, the halacha is you have to believe there's no guf, lo masiga guf, and nothing like it, and so on and so forth. As long as the person subscribes to it, even if it doesn't understand it and so on, that's good enough. I heard there was somebody here, he's Breslov of sorts, and he was telling somebody, it's a person who came to it late in his life, and he reads in English only, doesn't read the Hebrew. He told somebody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because he was lonely. So the person told him, you know, that might be kfira. He says, no, it says so mefurish. So this person had his wits about him, and he realized that a real theological argument is not going to work here. So he told him, you're not reading the book right. Let me show you how to read the book. And he read it to him in a way, so nochadaitoi, that the book goes along with it. But it's very hard. People have these asagas. I mean, the Raivet says it. He tells the Rambam, listen, a very chashuv people, very important people, or good people, have made this mistake, and because of all the psukim and the chazal and the midrashim, you know, and you can't just call a person like an apikoris. Apikoris cannot be a category that includes a very chashuv chelek kol Yisrael. So my assumption is that somewhere down the line, everyone heard the statement that there is no guf and it's not shaykh, everything that says about him is kabayachol, kabayachol. I think most people at least give lip service to it. So at least that's safe with the lip service. So he says over here, the in Surah Shetisyash, that's all the moons like Shon Munus Masimasig Shamim. Commercial Shasta Munus had the Loika Yashiva Vasu. He says a person does not need to be intellectually satisfied or intellectually prove all these inyanim. Emunah does not require that we understand it fully. It means just that we have to subscribe to it. And we can be mevatla or das to das chachomim and say, well, if they said so, they said so. Let's take a very simple case where mevatla das to chachomim, and it's something we do all the time. Anyone studying quantum mechanics, quantum physics, it makes no sense whatsoever. Everything there, many things there, are counterintuitive totally. The only reason, but everybody talks about it and everybody subscribes to ideas, and the reason is because since people that we describe as being chashuv and bright and knowledgeable and understanding, they've done 101 different thought experiments and different mechatimtzes, and they've gotten to it. So I guess I need to take that as a given. So we do that. Many things like that we take as a given because we have great regard for the people that are saying it. So here also, if a person's open to it, so let's say I don't understand it, but I know that Gedolei Yisrael, who do understand these type of things, understood it, and they strongly spoke about it. So we'll be like that. That's the, that would be the emuna that we would give them. But it says there's no need to be the miyashiv daito sha'adam. Miyashiv daito sha'adam means that they should be intellectually comfortable with the idea. It's a counterintuitive idea. We don't know what we're talking. No matter how we say the words, but no one's ever seen something that's infinite and yet totally insubstantial. We don't know what it is. We just know that these are the right words that describe what it is. So it's something which we ourselves wrestle with having any type of description for it and really understanding it. We rely on the fact that it's emes because we have it messiah that it's emes. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions, any points? Okay, so Mr. Shem, so next week I hope things will be a little more consistent. I mean, it's Yom Tovim soon, but I try to do the best. Mr. Shem should be as consistent as could be. Okay.